It's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Dynamo's Dozen.
You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Team Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh shocks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. We have another great show for you, a damn great show for you today in the build-up to WrestleMania. You're about to get slapped in the face harder than Chris Rock on this show, because joining me today, I've got the referee, the only referee in town. That is Mr. Niall Foxy Fox. Welcome back to the show, Niall.
Hello there. It's good to be back.
He's Niall to each and every one of you, Foxy to me. and of course, a very, very regular member of the Dynamo's Dozen team, Mr. Ted Irving, of course, host of Retrotainment. Welcome to the show, Ted.
How you doing, lads? Good to be back talking wrestling. Love wrestling.
Absolutely. Well, before we take care of a bit of business, before we take care of wrestling business, we need to take care of some sponsorship business, because today's show is brought to you by Fright Rags, the best horror merchandise on the planet. Of course, Fright Rags is a sponsor of our other show as well, which is On the Slab Horror, which you can find also on YouTube and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. So go and check out the back catalog that we have over On the Slab. But Fright Rags is the newest sponsor of both shows, and we have an offer that you can use both for Dynamo's Dozen listeners and, of course, for On the Slab listeners. If you go to Fright, I believe it's fright-rags.com, you can literally look through their absolute huge catalog of unbelievable horror memorabilia and merch, the t-shirts, the caps, the hoodies, long sleeves, unbelievable. I think the latest, Ted, actually is a beautiful series that they brought out for The Thing for the 40th anniversary. And that stuff looks unbelievable. They brought some Evil Dead stuff. Evil Dead stuff out now as well. Check it out. If you actually go onto Instagram, probably the best bet, because you can shop from Instagram as well. And regardless of where you shop, if you put OTS Horror 10 into the promo as a promo code when you're making your purchase, be sure to buy in bulk so you actually get the value of it. You'll get 10% off your final purchase. So coming from the States, that is pretty cool, because you're pretty much getting your customs taken care of at that, when you think about it. Please do go and check them out. Ted has already got some stuff on the way. I've got some stuff on the way. I'm sure Foxy's definitely going to check it out after this.
I'll be checking it out after we're done.
Absolutely. So it's Fright Rags.
I have the Crow t-shirt.
Oh,
Crow t-shirt on the way. All right. First one I seen, I was like, that's me. I'm on that.
Crow long sleeve as well. You want to see the Crow long sleeve? Unbelievable. The stuff is just absolutely majestic. And then, of course, it is WrestleMania week. We would be amiss if we didn't mention, of course, our oldest sponsor, Wrestling Mania, Ireland's one and only wrestling shop, which you can shop online or you can shop in the store. Niall literally is on his way to WrestleMania. He's probably in Dallas as we speak, but the shop is open and it's business as usual. So if you want to get all your favorite shirts and whatnot, you got some really cool belts in the shop now at the moment as well. He's got the Intercontinental title and the World title in there. So get in and get your hands on that. Tell them Dynamo sent you. You won't get a discount code, but listen, you'll get service with a smile. And that is all we have time for the sponsors. But Foxy, of course, we didn't mention your plugs at the start. So before we do get into the wrestling stuff, why don't you plug what you've got going on? You've always got some great stuff going on with the podcast and, of course, with the store as well.
Yeah, so like basically I do YouTube as well. So I'm part of the Nerds of Us channel on YouTube. We do like loads of different shows. We do Wrestling RPG, which is a lot of fun. But we also do podcasts as well, shows about different things, whether it be video games or other topics that tend to grab our attention, or movie reviews. Apart from the YouTube channel, we also I make stuff, I sell stuff, Foxy Bros. I also do a little bit of the old Twitch, as the kids call it. I'm getting old. But like I do that for a bit of fun on the Twitch. So that's Foxman2390 on Twitch. And if you're looking for any good pixel art or comics, hit me up at foxygirls.retailer on facebook.com. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. We will check them out. Be sure to check them out. I'm sure you can send me over the links anyway, and I'll add them in the description.
I will indeed. Show.
For show. So, lads, it is, you're coming off off a big scrapper mania here in Ireland, Foxy. Yes. And that was in the build-up to WrestleMania. So, the fun doesn't stop for you.
No, it doesn't. So, like, obviously, we had Scrapper Mania weekend, which is just intense. Our first stadium show back, like for live shows in Ireland. At least 3 years, yeah. Mm. Like, we missed out on our previous one, which had John Moxley on it. Mm. But yeah. I think we made up for it with having, like, Sky 2i and RVD to a degree.
Yeah.
He was somewhat there. But like, now it was absolutely unreal to be back there in front of like that many people. Like, just it's a very different experience to when you're doing normal shows and then you do the stadium and it's just filled to the brim. It's like, it's great. It's a great feeling, great being back, and hopefully we can just get bigger and bigger from there on.
And you're the longest man in the ring on these shows. That's the great thing about it. You clock up some miles, man. I hope Joe Cabre is paying you in miles. You got your miles per minute card, must be.
Oh, he is not.
Guy rocketed, I know.
Not even close. Like,
we're calling you out, Joe. Sort this man out. No, unbelievable work, Foxy. Ted does be at most of those as well. I've been obviously at a lot. I've known you since back in the days of training. Like, so it's great to see you back doing what you like as well. Obviously, after being locked down for so long, and great to have live events back for the fans as well.
I think that's the first stadium show for OTT I've missed. I didn't feel comfortable going to it straight away.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll hold off, see how things go with it, and then go from there. But I think I've been front row for every stadium show bar the first one I went to, or first three rows anyway. So some great moments. Jordan beating Walter and stuff was just amazing, and then obviously the first, when he originally won the title, I think that was from Haskins, if I remember
yes
correctly, the first time he won Haskins. It
yeah
so. That was amazing stuff. So yeah, it's always great crack at them. Do miss the Tivoli, unfortunately. I don't think there's been a stadium better than that. Like, obviously the National Stadium with 2,000 people is better monetary wise and crowd wise but
like
atmosphere wise
there's
nothing beating the Tivoli.
Even gigs in the Tivoli, like, were just special, you know. Yeah, they were a great spot. Well, look, we're doing something. Before we have the lads in tears here, we don't want that. We don't want all the Irish wrestling fans getting too teary-eyed either. But that may happen anyway, because we're not here to do a WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. Get those words out of my mouth. This doesn't happen to me often. Maybe it's because I'm sober. No, it's not going to be a WrestleMania preview as such, because myself and Niall have already done that. We will obviously mention probably a little bit throughout the show at the end and see what the boys are looking forward to, of course. But we decided to do something a little bit different today. Get into the mind of Foxy and Ted here and see what makes them tick in terms of their WrestleMania experiences, both possibly there or just from what they watched growing up. So We decided to break it down into three segments, and we've done it usually, as you know, we always do top fives and top tens on these shows because they're fun. Fans enjoy them, gives them a chance to sit at home and kind of agree or disagree, and then make them think what you guys would pick yourselves. So do play along with us while we do this, guys and girls, and be sure to let us know in the comments what you agree with, disagree with, and let us know your picks. So we've broken it into three segments. We've went with top five WrestleMania matches of all time. So that's the guys' choices. That's their own personal choices. Top five WrestleMania moments of all time, which I think is a very important category because there's always moments as such, you know. And then we've went with top five manias of all time. So just their favorite mania in general. So I think this is pretty cool. And it's actually really, really difficult because a top 10 is always easier because you get to put more in. So top five is really difficult. So I do apologize, lads, that I threw you under the bus on this one, but I'm looking forward to it. I think we'd probably start with WrestleMania matches, top five WrestleMania matches of all time. And we'll kind of go through them one by one. We'll do one each at a time with you guys. So, Foxy, why don't you go with what you picked first for your first WrestleMania match?
All right. Like, now I'm not going to do it in particular. Like,
no order. No particular.
No, just in general. Because
thank God, because I hadn't done that either.
No, because I didn't want to do that because you'll have so many people just like, how dare he choose this one? Ah, no, no, he's wrong.
Yeah,
good match, but no.
Yeah, because we all know it's a proven fact that it was Austin and Brett, so we can move. You know, don't worry about that. I'll take the heat for this one.
you're half right with that.
Mm-hmm. You see, this is how it starts. This is how it starts. So, yep, Foxy, you're 100% on the money. So,
well, all right, I'll start off with I didn't see it when it originally aired, but like. Only in recent times that I actually went and watched this match and has become one of my favorites to go and watch is actually from WrestleMania 10.
Ooh.
And this is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. And my God, like the two of them were obviously because they're brothers, but like they know each other so well and they're able to convey it through their wrestling, even with little nuances that they do in between is just
the heel baby face psychology was unbelievable in that as well, wasn't it? Like it was so clear that if you didn't know who these guys were and you would just put that on and you went in blind, you would know who the bad guy and who the good guy were. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Owen's work was just phenomenal in that one.
Absolutely. Even just a little moment like then Owen like gives him a little shove with the hair and Brett just looks at him and is like, don't you dare you motherfucker.
I'm watching you.
Do that again. You're going to get it. No, but like, it's fantastic. It's great technical wrestling throughout the whole thing. Good storytelling. You knew exactly who's babyface, who's heel. But like, anyone who's a fan of true wrestling is in for a massive treat watching this one.
Oh, 100%. I think, I think it's one of the best wrestling matches on a pay-per-view show, period, ever. In WWE, anywhere actually, just best wrestling matches, pound for pound. That's what pro wrestling's all about, as you said, Foxy. And I mean, arguably the best Mania opener of all time. To be fair, it was good lord. They don't come much bigger than that. Ted, do you want to throw your two cents?
Yeah, this is kind of what I meant when you said Austin Brett was the best Mania match, and I said you were half right.
Yeah,
you're half right in that both of the men are in my top five, but they're not in it together because it's Owen and Brett for me.
So you agree?
That's Brett's best match on Mania for me. As great as Austin Brett is, this is my preferred one. I absolutely love this match. I adore it. Like, it's as both you and Foxy said, you go in, you know exactly who's the face, who's the heel, the big brother, little brother dynamic. Yeah. I don't think it works all that well a lot of the time when they do brother versus brother. But Owen being able to convey the jealous little brother so well throughout the entire feud that they've ever had, just it's phenomenal stuff. Like, and as you said, technical masterclass.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I can't say I wouldn't have that in my top five either.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm pretty much the same as you, Ted. Like, I was debating whether or not it would be Brett and Austin or this. And I was just like, both of them are very good matches, like very good matches. But like, if you want something that's like just completely solid, like from both participants, like they know full well what they're doing going in, like Brett and Owen, like absolutely. And it's very understated on how good Owen was.
Yeah.
Like, because you didn't really get to see it, but this match showcases how good he can be.
You put him in with the right, yeah, exactly. You put him in with the right, you know, dance partner. You know, a lot of times you'd see Owen just being thrown in with random guys and stuff. And yeah, he'd look good. But having, when Owen had like the right dance partner, good Lord, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Obviously two completely different style of wrestlers, but you can tell that they both kind of learned the same way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, no, great opening match. So we'll go to the second pick. Foxy, you may as well go again because you just both matched up there. Nice, good start.
Yeah.
Good opener.
I hope it doesn't go the way for the whole thing where we have the same five and then it's a really quick list.
Yeah. No, but like another one that like it's stuck with me because I watched this pay-per-view like it. Now, I've never been to a WrestleMania, but like, goddamn, I wish I was at that one. And that's a WrestleMania 17 with the TLC 2. Absolutely, like, just especially, I was like 11, 12 at the time when this match happened. And my God, was I blown away by like just three teams that just were on top of their game and just wanted to show that they were the. They wanted to put tag team wrestling on the map and make it important. But the spots that you see in it is just, wow. The creativity for it. It's just through the roof.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The risks that they all take as well are unbelievable. Like, and all made the better by hearing years after that, Devon Dudley is genuinely terrified of heights. And they kept being like, yeah, Devon, just grab the titles and hang from them for a while. And he's like, hurry the fuck up. Come on, get me down from here now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable match.
Great match.
I was going to have that on mine, but I have a different WrestleMania 17 one. So I was like, I don't want to overload it because I think it's, you know, accepted that WrestleMania 17 is probably the best Mania of all time, like bell to bell. So I'll go with the other one I had from WrestleMania 17, which is Austin Rock, Mania 17.
What a match.
Yeah, just the entire build-up to the match itself. And then, you know, sometimes you can have a fantastic build-up and then the match doesn't live up to the hype. And this one does. Like, I'm usually not a big fan of, you know, people kicking out of their finishers three or four times throughout a match. Like, a finisher should be protected and, you know, you hit your finish, that should be it over unless there's a big delay between hitting it and pinning. But this is one of the few matches where I think the multiple finishes works really, really well.
I agree with you there. I think finishes, like, look, sometimes if, you know, the psychology of pro wrestling, like, it really is simple when it's, you know, when it's done right. It can just be overcomplicated. I'm sure you've seen it a million times, you know, while you were in the ring, Foxy. But you can understand sometimes, because the aim of the game isn't to have, like, on paper, the aim of the game isn't to have a 30-minute spectacle. It's a prize for you. It's to get in there and win the match quick and get out and get paid and go home. So you understand sometimes when you see, like, a finisher early in the match where the other guy might be fresh and someone kicks out of it. You don't see too much of that anymore. But I can understand when they used to do that sometimes. You're like, whoa, Jesus, that came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? It makes sense. But, yeah, near the end of a match, if, like, they're just lads are just constantly kicking out of finishers, like, you know, you're going, Jesus Christ. But I do agree, this match, it makes all the sense in the world because of the two absolute superstars that are in the ring. You know, like, I don't like to use that word superstar, but like,
they're global. The two of them are global megastars. Oh, and the thing is, like, the feud was built to be so hot that, you know, it's, if so, like, if you go into a fight with somebody and it's just like, right, they beat me. But then if you've got this, like, long history with them, I can understand that, you know, oh, they reached down that little bit deeper to kick out of the stunner or the rock bottom or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you look at some of the finishers today, like Dolph Ziggler, I think Ziggler could go and hit 15 of his finisher on someone and then they'll still kick out. Like, I have no confidence that he's going to win.
It's like, good lord.
I think, well, I think they only ever hit their finisher once, but they just ruin other people's finishers.
You know, that's what I mean. That's kind of the point I'm making. Fuck those guys.
No, yeah, but Ziggler ruins his own finisher because he hits it like 7 times and everyone still kicks out of it. So
yeah. Look, I have no problem with the Young Bucks anymore. It's all good. It's all love now.
They entertained me, but like, yeah, the super kick is a dead move, unfortunately.
Yeah, they've diminished the effectiveness of it in actual finisher, which was the original super kick.
Yeah.
They just made it to, it's now a transition move now.
It's the same as Damien's dinner time. You know what I mean? The DDT, like it's something that like literally was and is still a devastating finisher when you look at it done correctly. And now it's just another one of those kind of, I mean, realistically, right? A superplex is a fucking devastating move. You know what I mean? Like when Dynamite done that first in Japan, people were like, what in the name of God is this? And like, even at the same time, it's still won. And like, yeah, I suppose that's just the way wrestling's evolved. And it is, I don't want to be the cranky old man. You know what I mean? Because you'd spend all day here if you were to talk about, you know, what was and what isn't the finisher and stuff like that. But I do agree with the boys. But let's move on then to number three. I'm interested to see now. I was getting into the you can see the sweat breaking on the brow a little bit now.
So like I am purposely like jumbling these up because like I'm not doing it enough. And because the next one is just, to me, it's actually like just a great, the story is basically like almost like student teacher, but it's a generation apart. But the storytelling is done so well, the wrestling is solid, and then the ending is just, it's just an extra little touch on it. And that's Jericho versus Shawn Michaels.
Oh, 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to hazard a guest here. Or a guest, should I say. That our guest, Ted, also picked that.
No, because no. I had two other HBK matches. And I was like, if I just put all HBK matches as my top five, it'll just be a bit shit. So I have two other ones from him. Everyone's going to guess at least one of them, to be honest.
Yeah. That man, that's a great show. The Jericho Michaels match, I think, is very, very underrated. It is actually a great story told. I mean, the build up to this was fantastic as well. Obviously, I think he had busted up his wife by mistake.
No, I think that's
was that
the
later one.
This
that
is
later.
This
that was
is
later.
The,
sorry.
This is Jericho with still with the long hair, and that I don't want to be the next Shawn Michaels. I want to be I don't want to be the next Shawn Michaels. I want to be the first Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he hit Rebecca. Obviously, I think that was SummerSlam or something, wasn't it? When he had the short
hair. Yeah, it was like 2010 or 2000.
That's short hair suit wearing Jericho.
Sycophant. Calling everyone sycophant. Yeah.
Long words, Jericho. Yeah. That's that one. Yeah.
Long words.
That was incredible as well. But
This match was fantastic. Yeah, I think because it was a good wrestling match, and then of course, what a way to end it as well. You know, the handshake.
Simple.
Roll-up was beautiful, yeah. But then to shake the hands at the end, Jericho selling it where he's really emotional and he's crying.
And then hugs him and pushes him away again. And the kick in the bollocks, yeah. so good. Like
Brilliant.
The story that they tell as well, Jericho did it on Austin's podcast. He basically explained it. It's like they went off, like probably to get some food. And then by the time they came back, Jericho had one half and Michaels had the other half, and he just meshed it together, and then there you go, we're job done.
Genius.
It's like genius. How can you be on that like kind of wavelength to do that? It's very rare to get that kind of thing. But
I think obviously it helped Jericho obviously growing up and knowing
how Michaels worked. That's what I was gonna say. You work with someone that you've idolized and watched your entire life, you kind of, it's in your head how they do matches, I suppose, to an extent.
Yeah, like if Foxy is promoting the show, and you know, in some alternate universe, and Foxy goes, right, Dynamo, you're wrestling Bretton, I'm like, I can go away for a coffee, and I'm like, I just know what's going on. I know how he does shit. it's genius the way they did it. Ted, you're number three.
Well, not really number three, but just the third one that's on this list. I'll go with an old one that has been slightly diminished for me, having heard that it's so scripted to the point that, you know, it was hold for hold, move for move, step for step, WrestleMania 3, Savage Steamboat. And I say it's been slightly diminished for me, but that doesn't take away from anything. When I'll sit down, I'll be like, yeah, this is fucking so scripted, planned out. And then you start watching it and you're 2 minutes in and you've forgotten all that. And you're just like, yeah, that doesn't matter. This match is just
brilliantly scripted, else. Right? It's kind of...
No, it's brilliantly scripted. So well. But, you know, like, and I'm sure other people have done it as well. But just, it's become such a thing that this match was so meticulously written out by Savage because he was so meticulous in all of this stuff. But it's just, you know, light years ahead of its time is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, if you took this match and threw it on today's Mania, it still holds up. Whereas if you take Hogan versus, you know, somebody else, like anyone, kind of WrestleMania 1 to kind of 7 or 8, take those Hogan matches, they probably don't elicit the response you want today.
I don't know. Hogan Warrior and Hogan Macho would definitely still be main event level in today's day and age, just purely because of the
nostalgia.
But if you forget about the nostalgia of it, like if you think...
In those matches, they were actually pretty good matches for, you know, the two of them that were involved. Well, I mean, Hogan could always have a good match if he wanted, case in point.
Oh, yeah, and it's not a knock at Hogan. It's just that, you know, Hogan's matches were very formulaic. And, you know, I don't think today's crowd would appreciate that if it was done today. Whereas I think Savage Steamboat done today, I think people would still be all over it. I think people would still rave this as like a match of the night today. Whereas I don't think that would be the case with any of those Hogan ones.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Hogan Rock was showed that Hogan could still do it then. You know, it's not a knock at Hogan. It's just how good these two were that I think they were so far ahead of their time for this match.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. I agree. Can't say anything bad about the match.
No.
Stole the show anyway. That's for sure. So the fourth, Mr. Fox.
Yeah. So, right. Number four. This one, in terms of their series of matches, like I prefer this one because the story going into it was great, but also the fact that it was purely unpredictable. And that's Taker Shawn, their first one at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Like, just madness. The dynamic between it, but like the match as it progresses is just like, who, like you're fully into it.
Yeah.
Like fully into it. Like you don't, doesn't matter who you thought was going to win it. Even though like Taker had won like so many, this was one of the only matches in a while that you actually believed he could lose.
Mm.
You actually believed that Shawn could actually beat him. And that's what was brilliant about it. I had everyone on the edge of their seat throughout that match. And don't get me wrong, it's not knock at the second one. The second one was even like up there as well in terms of like level and creativity, as well as still keeping you on the edge of your seat for it, because that was unpredictable as well. It was like they managed to strike the right blend where it's like, right, we know what can hook them now. We've given them just enough of a story to give them it, to get them going. But as we do this match, we are telling more of that story and people are just getting.
Yeah.
Oh no. Like that's the reactions that you want from a match, especially at WrestleMania. It's like, and I absolutely loved it.
What you just kind of described there, didn't Brett say that before about WrestleMania 12 with him and Shawn? You know, like people were intrigued to see what was going on here. And at first it was kind of like, whoa, like it was kind of that same feeling, like who was actually going to win here? Like, because I mean, Brett's Brett, Shawn's the up and comer. Is he going to have enough? But the fact that they had the Iron Man and the way they settled it out, he said at the start, you see people eating their popcorn and their drinks. And he goes, but then I say 20 minutes in, all of a sudden they're sitting forward a little bit. And then by the end, they're sitting more forward. And by the end, then you've got them up to fucking fever pitch. That's literally how it's meant to be. You know what I mean? That's the, I mean, look, it's easier said than done, but the psychology of it is very, very simple. You know what I mean? And something probably not really tried enough in the modern era too much, I don't think. Not across the board. It all kind of comes out very quick and very, you know, pacey. But we're starting to see a little bit more of it now, I think, in the likes of AEW and especially in the kind of the Brock and Reigns kind of style characters. We're seeing a little bit more of the psychology back. So yeah, that's a great show. That listen, those two matches with Michaels and Taker, you could put both of them in there and you wouldn't be wrong. So, Ted?
Yeah, I was wondering which way Foxy was going to go when he started that, because I was like, I don't know if he's going to go for one or two here, because the same thing can be said about both. Yeah. One is amazing, two is amazing. The only issue I have with two is that I was probably a little bit more certain who was winning there, because I was like, well, they're not going to have, you know, if Michaels is planning to retire, they're not going to have him end the streak now. So that's the only thing that I knock off two, really. Yeah. Which is what bumps one to being the better one for me. And I'm the same. I have that on my list. There's no way that you can make a best top five. Like, if anyone's making a top five matches at WrestleMania and you don't have at least HBK and Taker one or two on it, your list is like, it's just wrong. Like, you can't make a list without one of those two matches, really. Yeah. They're just so, so good. And the story, like, it was WrestleMania, the first one that they did was off the back of the Royal Rumble, where the two of them were the final two, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were the final two. And then the next year, they were the first two.
Yeah.
Which is mad, because, like, I remember watching that Rumble and loving it. But, like, I think it was either myself or someone else that was beside me. And one of us had said it. It's like, why if they start next year?
Yeah.
But it was like a 30-minute ending. Happened? Yeah, it was a 30-minute ending the year it was the two of them, though, as well. Mm. Like, you had the entire Rumble, and the Rumble had kind of gone by quick, and I was like, oh, this is a bit shit. Like, you know, I kind of loved the Rumble. I didn't want it to be over in 30-odd minutes, and then you got a 30-minute match. Like,
yeah,
it just gave you, here's a little taste of what you're going to get at Mania, versus Taker. And then they went to Mania, and you were like, well, is it going to be as good as what we got at the Rumble? And it blew that out of the water. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was just brilliant. Like, I just, same for me. That was on mine as well.
Great, like, with that, course. Like, it's just a great example of two absolute pros, veteran pros, going out there and showing that even in their later years, they can set the standard up a lot higher than you think that they can.
Mm.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like the last, it's not the last, but it was kind of the last few kind of matches where Taker could really go as well. And I mean, I'm sure he pushed himself. I mean, obviously he had Punk and all that afterwards. But the Punk was after, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Triple H was next.
Triple H.
No, but I mean, Punk was in later years, is what I mean. Sorry, after, like, the Michaels, it was a couple of years after.
Yeah, I think it's Punk. I think it's Triple H twice.
Yeah.
Then Punk, then Lesnar.
So that was it. It was kind of like the last few years of Taker where he could really, like, fucking pull it out of the bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on anything Taker's ever done anyway.
No, I mean, you know, that many years in the ring and that many years at that lifestyle that he had as well.
That size.
Yeah.
right, we're down to the final match. This is obviously difficult. So, Foxy, hit me.
Oi. So, this one now is just... Now, this is another one from Mania 19. It just shows you, like, the kind of caliber that, like, of matches that were on this card. But I absolutely loved the build up. They had so much history to go into it. And regardless, like, at the time, I didn't know what was going to be happening. But my God, was I looking forward to it. Austin versus Rock Tree.
Oh, yeah.
The finish to their like trilogy of Mania matches. Like storyline was great. Like you had a heel Rock, like Hollywood Rock, and a face Austin. Like the formula didn't really change much. Like because like their first encounter, Rock was heel, but he wasn't there yet. Like in terms of like the level that he has people like command over the people.
He was on the way though. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He was. Austin was like white hot at the time. Then the second match is literally like
face.
It's face. They're built right up there. Like they're both of them are being built very heavily. But like this match, clear face, heel. Here's the story. Go. And my God, like these two can go. It's another example of like the finishers being used, like, and being kicked out of. But it's enough. Like there's still enough storytelling and subtlety to it that it keeps you coming back to watch it again and again.
Yeah,
because these two are so good, and it also shows. Now they've explained it before. It's like. It shows the level of trust that these two had in each other.
Yeah.
Like to basically get the best out of each other.
Yeah.
Every time they faced off. And it shows. Yeah. Even with like when you hear afterwards, it's like Austin is actually on the way out because of health problems. It's like this, which is crazy. Like you didn't really know that. Like it came out after the fact, but goddamn, like it also shows like the caliber that The Rock is that he can carry his. As well, he can carry a match if need be, but neither didn't. It was purely back and forward. There was no carrying involved. I think that's how good they are.
Rock is kind of out of it,
wasn't it?
Yeah, just kind of out of practice, but like out of the ring from like how he would normally have been because he's now Hollywood Rock, so he's off in Hollywood quite a bit. Like not to the level he is now, but you know, neither of them would have been what you called their. Peak in terms of like I think 17 is when they're both at their peak.
Yes.
But then they come out and do this and it's still a classic at 19. Like it's just so good.
Well Ted, you're up.
I go 2 years ahead, and as I said, it was another Shawn Michaels match. Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle.
Oh yes.
This was one that when they started the feud, I was like, you don't need Sexy to do Kurt. You don't need to do anything else. You've told me that they're wrestling at Mania. That's it. I don't need anything else. Send the two boys home. I'm already bought in. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's no need. And then they still put all the other stuff in, like the sexy Kurt, the breaking Marty Jannetty's ankle, all sexy of that Kurt stuff.
Sexy Kurt was the best thing ever. That popped up again today, and the great, sensational Sherry coming out and doing the song with him. I'll make your ankle hurt. What a fucking...
But again, the whole story built again from the Royal Rumble. Shawn eliminates Kurt.
Yeah.
Then Kurt drags Shawn out and like Olympic slams him on the... Was it just on the floor or on the steps? I can't remember. He might have been off the steps onto the floor, possibly.
I think so.
And then the whole story of like, I won a gold medal in 1996 and all everyone was talking about was this Shawn Michaels guy who swung down from the rafters and stuff. I was like, oh my God, like everything about this is just brilliant.
Yeah.
And again, you know, you knew those two going in. They're going to have a classic.
Oh, of course.
Angle, basically, the breath of that generation, you know, like technical masterclass every time. And then Shawn was still Shawn, like, except less pilled up.
That's kind of, that's a great shout, like, because, you know, you always hear Brett and Kurt talk about how much, but that was both their kind of dream match, and probably ours too. But
you'd love to see it. But
they're actually more similar in so many ways. So I'd say for Shawn, you know, that was a dream to kind of get in and work with some of that, because he always excelled working with those technical guys. And obviously because of working with Brett, we got to see that so many times. But I'd say these two boys were just salivating at the prospect of working with each other at Mania, let alone, and so were we. So that was on my list, actually. A few weeks ago as well. I loved it. I might actually go back and watch it tonight. God damn it.
The fact that Kurt was able to be, jokester Kurt on the run into all of this, you know, like the whole time into this. Well, not the whole time, because he's like messing when he's, you know, doing the sexy Kurt stuff. So you've got the comedy side of him. Then he gets in the ring and he's breaking Jannetty's ankle. And then you get intense Kurt. mm-hmm. when he's in the actual match. Like, it just showed his range to do all of it. Yeah, like,
oh,
incredible.
One of the best of all time, 100%.
Yeah.
I love this match. Lads, that's a great Mania top five list, and all of which pretty much made it into myself and Niall's top 10. Ted, you're a better memory than me, but I'm pretty sure they were all in there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so just shows you, great minds think alike, lads. Right, so next up we can probably be a bit quicker on these because obviously we've got two more categories to go through, but top five Mania moments of all time. Now, obviously, the reason we put moments in is because it really is what Mania is about besides the wrestling nowadays, isn't it? Actually, it always has been, you know? Like, I don't know, for you guys, when I was young, I was young enough to watch that, you know, 1994 Mania, like, live at the time. I'm showing my age here. I go back to 5 and 6, so they were the first. But, like, even at the start, you know, you look how the video packages have kind of aged a bit, but they haven't aged badly. They were still great. You know what I mean? You look at in WrestleMania 10, the nostalgia was going back and looking at, looking at Liberace dancing, you know, looking at Cyndi Lauper running around with the megaphone with Hulk Hogan and all. They are the moments, aren't they, that we talk about? You know what I mean? Those little things, you know, Roddy Piper with the fucking, you know, with the fire extinguisher, but, you know, don't blow no more smoke in my face. It's just, these are moments. So, lads, I've given the fans a little bit of a taste there as to what they can possibly expect. So why don't we start with you this time, Ted? We'll take a bit of the pressure away from Foxy while he gathers his list there. I can always tell when a fellow worker is writing something.
Yeah.
During that, I actually thought of, like, stuff. So I was like, yeah.
As you said, Mania is the spectacle, you know? Mm-hmm. As much as I love the wrestling at a, you know, you're always looking forward to, okay, what's going to stand out here? You know you're going to get something. Sometimes they're not good ones. Like, it's not one that's on my list, but obviously when Kurt and Brock had their match, you know, you've got the moment there that, you know, everyone would rather never happened.
Of course.
And the moment they were going for was the shooting star press, and then obviously the moment we got was Brock breaking his neck. But, you know, it's still a moment that's still talked about. It's not one that's on my list, but the moments are what you remember. You know, you do remember the matches, but you'll remember the match itself being good, but it's specific things that you remember, usually. So for moments, this is one where I have Austin and Brett. Austin passing out in his own blood. What a moment. Oh, like, you know, made Austin. Made him who he was, you know.
Yeah.
This badass who would never give up no matter what you did to him. And he'd rather, you know, pass out in his own blood than tap or quit or anything, you know.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, within that moment, Shamrock
the double turn,
Shamrock picking up Brett and throwing him away, you know what I mean? That's the turn. Like, that is absolute genius. And I think that's what she said. Ted Austin's even said it himself, isn't he? That there's no Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't at that level without that moment. Like, it's absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Like, you've got your Austin 316 promo and everything that people say made him, but you don't get to that if you don't have this.
It's stages, isn't it? It's stages that build towards that category. Like, it's little pieces that are put together to flesh out the character. And that one, good Lord. I mean, you know, this isn't just some guy that he's in the ring with. Like, people have passed out, you know, people have tapped out to the sharpshooter, you know, that are legends of the game. And there's Austin, like, nah, I'm going.
Not me, yeah.
No, 100%. In Chicago as well, wasn't it? Hot.
I think so, yeah.
Hot crowd in Chicago.
Like, the image is still used, you know, you still see the image all the time of Austin up on his hands, screaming with the blood just dripping down his face, and Brett just, like, standing over him. It's obviously Brett's back because they're showing Austin's face because that's the bit you need to see.
Yeah, he's in the sharpshooter at the time, you know, in the push-up position, almost just screaming, and the blood just dripping incredible into his teeth, everything, like, it's unbelievable. Foxy?
So, the moment that, now I'm going to get out of the way because, like, I have a feeling I might be on it. On yours, Ted. So that's why I'm kind of getting out of the way.
Tactical.
So, like, one one for me, like, and it's more in recent years, but my God, did I pop hard for this so bad, like, because they played the internet so well, like they played the internet crowd so well, and it's just like, God damn it! Even I was just like, not happening. Hardy Boys return to the WWE at WrestleMania. My God, did I pop for this?
Shoot. I even popped for that.
Hearing that music again after, you know, so many years, I didn't put it on my list because I actually figured you would have it on your list. Yeah. So I was like, I'll keep it off mine so I can sneak another one in there because somebody exactly. else will have this, yeah. But what a moment.
Because, I mean, I knew they played it off so well. Like, they played it off so well that it's like, to the point where I was like, I have no problem if these, like, jump in here.
Yeah.
Like, if New Day jump in on this ladder match, I have no problem whatsoever with this. But they played it off so well up until the bare end, and then the music just hits and just, my God, I was popping because I was in disbelief. Mm-hmm. I was also angry because I got worked. I was like, damn it.
I'm not just saying this. I was actually watching this with King Woe, I believe. And I had said to him, as soon as I saw the New Day come out, I said, this is it. Because he was like, man, they're not coming back. Like, this, where the fuck are they? Like, you know, because obviously everyone had teased it, but we didn't know whether it was true or not. And as soon as I saw the New Day, I was like, these motherfuckers they're up to something. It's gonna happen. But then even at that, because they kept it, they played it so well, the New Day, didn't they? And then I was thinking, shit, I'm not so now. I didn't admit this at the time, but now I'm admitting it in front of everyone. Near the end, I was like, I don't know. I could be wrong here, but I got to pretend that I'm... But yeah, boom. What a moment.
I think
they came out in their actual gear,
ready to
go.
I think one of the big things was as well that the Hardys had been in a TLC match the night before for the Ring of Honor titles. Yeah. And I know they lost the Ring of Honor titles there, but you were kind of thinking, you know, the Hardys aren't kids anymore. You know, these are guys in their 40s. Like, you know, they're not going to do a TLC and then another TLC the next night, especially with the way the two boys, well, especially Jeff, the way he does ladder matches, there's no chance he's coming out here and doing this. Like, and then I was like, yeah, they probably did plan, but they didn't realize the Hardys were going to go fucking ham last night. So I was like, yeah, okay, maybe the plan was to, and now they've had to, you know, sub in the New Day and be like, you boys better do it. The two lads aren't in any shape. And then the music hit, and I was like, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd heard it was happening, but I wanted it to happen, but I believed it didn't, and I got worked out of my boots as well. Like, I was like, yeah, there we go.
Well, I've never been happier to be worked, though, because
yeah.
I
loved
it. Like, oh, yeah, 100%.
You love it when, like, because it hit the nostalgia so well, especially if you've been following the Hardys, like, like you're in the attitude there, just like you're a fan regardless.
Well, even though people like yourself and myself, Foxy, like, you know, wily old thinkers haven't been around the game, you kind of like to not be worked, but when you do get worked well, there's a certain love and appreciation and respect, actually.
Yes.
More so, I would say the word respect, that you go, and it gives you hope, like, it can be done.
Yes, you know what I mean?
And
yes, it can.
That's the nice part about it. I think you would agree with that. Because, like, yes. I was like, fuck, I didn't, why was it worked? But damn it. Yes, well done. This gives me hope for the future.
That's exactly what I said. It's like they worked the internet crowd so well.
Yeah.
It did. It had people, even in the business, are just like, they're not doing it. Like, then like, had them convinced. And as I said, I was delighted to be fucking worked, like, because that pop was genuine reaction and joy seeing them actually there. So
shout out to Kevin Owens for doing something similar on Raw the other week, coming out as Stone Cold with the
ball cap on,
and then got them the second time. Then obviously that was just take a bow, you know what I mean? That's brilliant stuff. Ted, you're up again.
I'll go for one that I don't know if Foxy would put it on his, because a lot of people probably don't have it on a list of top 5 Mania moments, but it's definitely there for me, and it's Taker losing the streak. And people might not cherish this as like a happy moment or anything, but
it is a moment, to be fair.
No one is ever going to forget when Taker lost that streak. No. And I'm not, because I was there, which is why it's so big for me. And I know, obviously, people watching the watching WrestleMania, it's dead silent. I'm telling you, it wasn't silent up where I was, because I was fucking jumping for joy when Taker lost at that. I was so happy that I got to be there. And everyone was like, what the fuck are you cheering for? Taker just lost. And I was like, yeah. And you think any other cunts ever going to experience this? I experienced it. So did all of you. You should be delighted with yourselves that you got to see the one time that he lost that streak. That is never. Doesn't matter if it's Taker, anyone else. No one else is going to have a streak like that. I was so happy that that happened. Like, I didn't cheer straight away.
In the fashion as well that it happened. Because, this was an absolute... I can't use the word I was going to use. Thank God for my quick brain there. But, it was a mauling. The village was pillaged, basically.
Oh, yeah. I was absolutely... I didn't cheer straight away. I was shocked at first.
The crowd, everyone felt that way, at home, I think.
But then as it sunk in, I was like, Taker just lost. And it kind of sunk in, and I was like, yes, this is brilliant. I was like, the first Mania I go to...
It would be you, Ted. It would be you. Fucking
lovely, I was like, this is great. And everyone was like, it's not great, he lost. And I was like, yeah, and I got to sit here and watch it live. Lovely.
Good show.
Everyone else can do whatever they want, but it's not a good moment in a sense, I suppose.
But it's it's an important moment, though.
I think a lot of people don't like that it was Brock that did it. But the fact was that somebody, if somebody's going to do it, they need to be believable.
Yes.
And you also don't want to give it to an up-and-comer. I know people always said, oh, no, you want to give it to someone who's coming up. No, you don't. Because if you give it to some up-and-comer and then, 6 months later, they quit the business.
Yeah.
Not a hope. You want someone like this. You want someone like a Brock who, he can pass the heat on to someone else after.
Mm-hmm. Argument to be made that Punk probably should have done it.
Punk would have been a good one to do it, yeah. Punk would have been a good one.
Because it would have made sense at the time with Punk doing it purely because, he had Heyman there. He had got into his head, in the build-up with the urn and stuff. And it could have been a thing where there was tomfoolery involved and it wasn't a clean win, but... It didn't hurt Taker if he loses not cleanly to Punk, but it really fucking helps Punk then. But
I think Punk would have stayed in the company had that happened. I don't think Punk would have left because I think that was one of his gripes, was that he kept being put with the part timers and kept losing to all of them, like losing to Goldberg, losing to Rock, losing to Taker. He was like, why do I keep losing to all these part timers? I'm meant to be a main event player. John Cena's not coming here and losing to every part-timer that comes back either. I don't mind losing to one or two, but I'm not losing to everyone.
Let's get on. So that's two each. Oh, no, this is your second one now, isn't it?
This is Niall's second one. Yeah.
It's my second one now. So my second one now, I don't know if it's if it will be on Ted's, but this one now, if you're so engrossed in the Attitude Era, you couldn't help but not pop for this as a moment. And what I'm talking about is Linda McMahon standing up out of the wheelchair during the McMahon match at WrestleMania 17. how could you not pop for that?
Because a great one there.
Even though it's ridiculous, it's absolutely ridiculous, the story going into it. But you still got sucked into it. Like as a kid, I fully believed that she was in a comatose state because I was a kid and didn't know anything better. But goddamn did I believe that shit. But what a pop for her standing up and kick right in the balls. There you go. There's a better impact there.
I wouldn't say she missed either.
I'd say she was given the opportunity and she was like, yeah, well, I'm taking this. How many other times am I going to get to kick him in the bollocks as hard as I can?
Yeah, yeah.
It's for all that shit you did. Boom. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Boom. I love it. That's a great show, Fox.
I can't say that was on my list. I didn't even think of it. But when you mentioned Linda standing up, I was like, Jesus, yeah, Linda standing up was huge. And it wasn't like Linda was well-liked either. It was just...
She was always the complete opposite
of Vince.
The rest of them.
Yeah.
The rest of them were always more inclined to be heels, whereas she was always
She's a nice person. And the fact, don't forget, in the build-up to all that, like, Vince was being the sleaziest sleazeball he could be, like, kissing Trish Stratus in front of her and everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, Vince was just like, so slimy.
Oh, it was just pure and utter, like, slime ball. So it was, it was absolutely fantastic. Like, Vince has a lot of moments in that I can just, you know, honorable mentions. Like, obviously, in fairness, I'll always respect Vince for that as well, giving Brett, you know, the opportunity to come back and beat the shit out of him for a whole pay-per-view and having the whole family there. I thought it was a nice touch. But then that famous one where, you know, he's wrestling Hogan and he's bloodied up, and, you know, he comes up over the apron with that look.
Amazing.
That reaction, when the timing of that, when he comes up above the apron, just looking like Satan himself, you know, Crimson Mask. That was, I mean, we probably all watched that one live as well. I was like, holy shit, man, this guy is beyond, like, for what he lacked in ring, you know, awareness or ring technique or anything like that. Good Lord. There's not many better performers with their face or their timing and their delivery than Vince. So great, great show, Foxy. Ted?
Yeah, it's actually a deadly one. I didn't even think of that.
Great show. I need to go back and watch that. I like that. See, this is why I love doing these shows, and it's WrestleMania week. You can go back and watch these things. Brilliant.
I think a lot of mine are going to be like the bigger moments that a lot of people will probably have, which I'm loving that Foxy has kind of the ones that I like. Now people aren't thinking of.
Strategic. I love it.
I'm loving that he has the ones that people mightn't be thinking of as much.
Yeah, brilliant.
From history. I think that kind of gives away what it is, but Benoit and Guerrero celebrating
absolutely
WrestleMania 20. What an absolutely fantastic moment.
I still can't watch it without without choking up almost.
It's a beautiful moment.
Mm. Yeah, like, and I know people, whatever happened, you know, Benoit and everything, like, as horrible as that is, it doesn't take away from that moment.
This is pre anything. We're talking about Mania moments.
And I understand some people can't watch it anymore. They're like, I actually just can't watch anything to do with them. And I understand that, like, it's some people just can't disassociate those things. And that's perfectly fine. There's like, I can't fault you for not being able to do it. I can. And I can still watch this moment and go, that in itself is incredible. The match before, it's great as well. And then, you know, Benoit had always been this this tough son of a bitch, you know, never really had any emotions sort of in the ring. The only emotion he'd ever really seen from him was anger and aggression. Mm. And then he wins and, you know, like, tears in his face.
That
and
was Eddie's a great coming out and grabbing, too.
Coming out and grabbing his hand and jumping up and down with him and everything. It's just, it's incredible. Like, and you can just see how much it meant to both of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic show. I mean, that's another mania that I have on the list to watch this week. I mean, those two matches, I think he wrestled Brock. Or was it Brock or JBL? When he rolled out with the shoe, he took his boot off. He was in the ankle.
Oh, that was against Kurt Angle.
Kurt.
That was Angle. Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
That was a great match.
Fantastic match. Genius.
Never finish.
Genius. Thinking outside the box, and then obviously the triple threat with Benoit, H, and Michaels. My God, some of the best selling you're ever likely to see in that one. With Michaels.
The story going into that, you know, Benoit wins the Rumble, Michaels comes down and signs the contract on him. Just everything about it.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
Brilliant, man. Right, so that's we're on to Foxy's third now.
Mm. So another one which...
Is it third, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, third for Foxy, yeah.
So another one which probably wouldn't be as taught about, but... I do like to go back and watch every now and then, because just for the idea of these two being in a ring together was just, you wouldn't have thought of it. But having them both in the ring and just talk and see what they do is amazing.
You got me excited, and this is, here.
This is Piper's Pit with Austin.
Oh, yes. Do you know what, Foxy? If this was a competition, you win tonight. And that goes right now, say, or Ted says. Man, for me, that, like, you're talking about two of my favorite of all time in terms of mic men. You know, everyone knows my feelings on Roddy Piper. But I was the same. Having these two dirty son bitches in the ring together was just...
Like, the opening line is like, welcome to Piper's Pit. Slap.
Slap, man. Did anyone?
Thanks for having me, you little son of a bitch. Slap back. Like, oh my god, I'm in from that. I'm like, oh.
How good was Piper's reaction to that slap? The way he kind of starts shaking a little bit, and you're like, oh shit, something's gonna happen here. Like, something's gonna go down.
He's selling it, but at the same time, he's like, oh yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah. I like you.
I like you. Yeah.
Like playing it off is like, I like you. Like, let's have some fun.
Brilliant. Amazing.
How could you not have fun watching this? Because it's so combustible. But my God, the two of the best, especially at improv.
Yeah.
Off the cuff, just improv. And you're just watching them go. And this is a mania moment. I'm like, yes.
Well,
like how it's not talked about more,
great,
like and appreciated more, because there's some really good stuff there.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. No, it's a deadly one as well. Yeah.
Great show, Ted.
I'll go for one that it's nothing to do with the match. It's the moment itself is. I think the bell has rung, but for this moment, but I could be completely wrong. It's two opponents standing across the ring from each other. They haven't laid a hand on each other yet. Rock in one corner, oof, Hogan in the other.
Not gonna what a moment. That's on my list as well.
Yeah. Oh. What a moment. Like no, nothing thrown, no words said, nothing being done. Just two men standing there looking at each other. And then you can feel
at the same time. Yeah.
You can feel the crowd go up to like a very certain point. And then it's like the crowd kind of goes down and they still haven't done anything. And as the crowd's diminishing, they look away from each other and then look back and it just raises again and it just keeps going up. And you're just like, when one of these hits the other, good God, this place is going to erupt.
Yep. And you know, a little thing that you may not have known, but The Rock has actually said this. This shows the genius of Hogan and how he was big fight Hogan, you know what I mean? He actually called it on the cuff. Because they did, obviously they knew there was going to be electricity when they got out there. But I mean, to the extent, I mean, the Skydome was Hogan's baby, obviously, yeah, from WrestleMania 6, you know. But it was actually Hogan that said, look the opposite way. Follow me lead, like on this. You know, that's an old veteran knowing how to work the crowd. And of course, The Rock is also, you know, pretty much on the way up here, if not already nearly there. But like, still not on the level of Hogan yet. You know what I mean? Probably ever. That's not many people are. You know what I mean? You've Hogan, you've Rock, and Cena probably. You know what I mean? And even Cena, like it's love hate shit. But these two in particular were just. The Rock got there eventually, but he could always go in and out of you know, babyface or heel. The crowd could easily turn on The Rock. That's what I mean. Even when Austin was a son of a bitch, the crowd still wanted to love him. And it's the same with Hogan, you know? And I think that's what I mean, but the two of them are just on a level of their own. And I think when, to be able to like just go, right, you look left, I look right, and we'll just, I think he said, soak this in, kid. I think that's what The Rock said. Hogan said to him, soak this in, kid. Man, that's a very big moment, Dad. I remember watching this at home, like, Jesus. I had only started wrestling. So this is 2002, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this is like, I only started wrestling and a couple of the guys training had come up to my house for it and we were watching it. And I remember just sitting in front of the TV going, whoa, this.
But put that on now and you'll still feel the goosebumps from it. You're just sitting
there.
This
is why we love this. Like, this is why you want to get involved. This is like, why do you want to be a pro wrestler? Why do you want to be involved in wrestling?
The then now for everything that obviously comes up before all the WWE, like all their shows, you see, you know, they show all these moments and then there's just the moment of Rock and Hogan just standing there. And, you know, if you said to someone, oh, we're just making a package of all the greatest moments, we're going to have two lads just standing in the ring.
Yeah.
And you didn't mention it was Rock and Hogan. You're like, yeah, we're going to put two lads standing in the ring. People would be like, are you all right? One of the best moments of your company that spanned all these years and the best thing you have to offer is two boys standing in a ring looking at each other. Come on, that's not making it Indigo. It's Rock and Hogan. Everyone's like, yeah, no, you're right. That's a moment. Put that in.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's you know, an argument could be made that it is the biggest moment in WrestleMania history. An argument can be made for that, to be fair.
Yeah, it probably is, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other ones, but That's probably up
it
there.
It should have been main event, too. I stand by it. I know title always goes on last. I am a traditionalist, as you know, but I think because of that, you know, I think... but look, hindsight is 2020, right? We can all say that. You know, hindsight's 2020. I mean, if I hadn't have... You know, if I'd have saw Jericho and H come out and go on before that, I'd have probably got pissed off at that, too. So, you know, it is what it is. History has told us that it was the right idea anyway. So, yeah, so just we're down to your final two then, seeing as Foxy agreed with it.
Yeah.
Final one now, is it?
Yeah, your final
winner one. Should I say
so? Yeah, so I was 50-50 on this because I was either going to go with Hardy getting speared while he held onto the title. Was that this or was that TLC 1?
I think it's TLC 2.
It's TLC 2, so Mania 17 when he gets speared by Edge off the holding titles. So it was either that, and then I said, I won't go with that one, although I think it is iconic. I'll go with one that I was more shocked with at the time when I first watched it. And it was Mania 12, Brett and Shawn. The Iron Man match ran the entire hour, and it just ended. And there was no way, like I was sitting there, and I was like, yeah, there's no way. Like somebody's picking something up, and it's been an hour, and nobody's won. And I was kind of like, well, that was shit. And I was so angry when I watched the first one. I was like, that's shit. I was like, nobody won. What the fuck was the point of this? I spent an hour watching a match and nobody won. Shit. Like, and then some out comes the commissioner. Nope, not having that.
Gorilla Monsoon came out
and said no. Not having that. Restarted. And we got another 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
It was a bit shorter than that. It was a bit shorter than that. But it wasn't.
Like straight away. Yeah, it's definitely not just straight away.
About 10 minutes or less. Yeah.
You get out and you get, you know, and then Shawn wins. And, you know, they make it a huge moment for when Shawn does win. You know, the tears and everything. And, it, you know, it's a bit put down.
I was extremely pissed off.
Get that piece of shit out of my ring.
As you just can imagine.
Yeah, well, you were a big Brett guy, as big Shawn guy.
I was like, this is bullshit. This is a conspiracy.
But like him like dropping to his knees with the title in his hands and like crying into it and everything, it's such an iconic moment as well.
Plus the entrance as well.
But the moment I was going for was the bit where he's on his knees, you know, crying into the title, because it just, as much as the match elevated the title, when someone's like on their knees crying about the fact that they've won the title, I think that just elevates a title even more, because it just shows how much it means to the individual to win it.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
It encapsulates that journey.
Yeah.
And what it means. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so for me, that went there, although it was very close to Hardy getting speared off, because I think as a moment, that is something that anyone that saw it when it first happened will never forget, because we'd never seen anything like that. We'd seen ladder matches, we'd seen the Hardys do crazy shit, but someone like being dragged all the way back on the ladder, and then as they release their feet, swinging forward and just getting speared out of the air from whatever, 20 feet or whatever it was, you were just like, that is insane. So it was between those, but I went with the one that elevated the title more than anything else.
I would have went with Hardy on that one. Just saying.
Yeah, that's why I said I'd throw in that it was the one that I had. But, you know.
Foxy knows I'm only fucking around there. We'll move swiftly along to you now, Foxy. Good shouts, though, Ted, in fairness. And I do agree because, in fairness, it is. And it's the way he grips the title. He has it, like, looking at him. He has it there and he pulls it in. Yeah, that was a good shout.
My last moment. Now, I don't know how many people actually were against this, because, like, it's... I think everyone just got on board and wanted to see it badly. And this was Daniel Bryan's win at WrestleMania with the title. Like, I don't know anyone who was against the idea of that, like, especially with the story going into it, but how over he was with the crowd. Like, it was, to me, it was a no-brainer. Like, this needs to be the moment. And That closing shot of him with the belts and the confetti and all that, like, that is the moment. It's basically like the crowd basically saying, this is our guy. He's done it. Like, we've done it. Like, he managed to suck everyone into it. and get them invested in him. And everyone wanted to get on board because he wasn't the company's choice.
Yeah.
We love getting behind someone that isn't necessarily like what the company wants.
The people's champ. I know it's yeah. a thrown out.
But the double duty as well that night, you know. Yeah. Well, you're gonna have to go out and beat Triple H first. And everyone was like, oh, well, okay, even if he beats Triple H, they probably won't let him win because they'll be like, well, he wrestled earlier, so it gives us an excuse to have Batista or Orton win it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he wins, yeah, that's 30 as well. And yeah, I can tell you the atmosphere of that was unbelievable, deafening when he won. Like
it's like, even just for visual, like a visual aspect, like just looking at that shot of him, I think on the ropes or either on the apron.
On the ropes, yeah.
But with the belts and just like, and the confetti, it's like that encapsulates the entire story. And it's the culmination of that story, like right there and then. Mm. And everyone was a part of it.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll ask you is about that, right? Do you think that story is very similar to Benoit's win? You know, they had balloons for Benoit.
Yes.
And they'd lost that moment. They could no longer put that into their video packages.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Brian didn't deserve it, but I think they went with that clip of the confetti and everything coming down and winning in the triple threat in the main event.
Hmm.
I think they kind of knew what they were doing there a bit. I think they were like, Brian deserves it. Everyone wants him to win. Everyone's behind him. And then we'll have this moment back of, you know,
yeah,
somebody with the two titles. Like, I think they knew they were there going with that. Because they needed that they needed a moment similar to that back, because losing the whole confetti or balloons or whatever it was, the confetti for Brian, balloons for Benoit and Eddie, that's a huge visual to lose.
Yeah.
And then they were able to get it back with this, and everyone was so invested in it as well. Like, everyone wanted Brian winning that, I think.
Well, as we wind down here on this one, I think on this one, because I know we're stuck for time, I'll get you to give out your top five manias. We don't, because we went through the matches as such, but just give your top five mania matches each, or WrestleManias of all time. Sorry, my bad. We've covered that, of course, in great detail. And then we can just spend a couple of minutes then before we shoot off about, you know, what we're looking forward to this year. So I'll start with you, Foxy. Just run down through the five that you picked.
So the manias of all time. So 17 is definitely one, because I was fully engrossed in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And absolutely love that pay-per-view from top to bottom. Like, there isn't really a bad match on that.
No.
19 is a fantastic one as well. Like, yeah, again, stacked, absolute stacked card. Then you have like 21 when they go Hollywood, because I absolutely love those. Like,
the promos.
I absolutely adore.
Me too.
Like 22 is also a great one as well, because you had the likes of Mick Foley and Edge as well on that card. And it's just like, that's a great match to throw out there. Like, that kind of gets skipped over. Like, you forget how good, like, not only how good Edge was, but like how Mick actually like really put the effort to try and get himself in shape for it. And really like want to show out for it. Like, he wanted his WrestleMania moment, and that was the story for it.
Yeah.
Another one. And then the fifth one would probably be, Janie Mac, probably 25. I just really enjoyed 25. I don't know why. I just did. And I mean, like, It's a good card, and as far as I remember, that's the first of the.
That's the first of Shawn and Taker, yeah.
Taker, so
yeah.
So like,
good list. Good list. Yeah. I like that too, because sometimes, like, if I was to go through mine, like, you'd be surprised, because like a lot of them are old, and you might go, oh well, you know, the card wasn't necessarily stacked, or you know, there wasn't, you know, catch as catch can style wrestling throughout the whole card, like, so why would you pick that? But a lot of times it is for, you know, the build up throughout the shows, to the main event. You know what I mean? That's how it used to be. Do you know what I mean? It used to be, that was good Lord. It's like, you know, watching a boxing pay-per-view or a UFC pay-per-view. You know, you've got your filler matches that you're kind of not really, you don't really care about them anyway, because like your mind is on the main event. But if you get a couple of good ones in there in between, you're like, oh, awesome, you know? Because that's obviously how people were feeling at WrestleMania 3 as well, you know? And as an added bonus, they got probably the greatest wrestling match of all time up until that point in WWF. So I'd be the same. I mean, WrestleMania 6 is on my list, you know what I mean? And some of the matches like last 2 minutes, but it's just that feel, and it's all about what it means to you. So I know what you mean by that one, Foxy. Ted?
Yeah, I have one old school one, and you've mentioned it, Mania 3. Obviously, yeah, you've got the classic match, and then you've got Hogan and Andre, which
was just, you know, huge, regardless of the quality of
what it was, for what, even just that, those two matches alone, what they were, incredible. A lot of mine are then similar to Foxy's. Well, 17, similar, 21, same. WrestleMania 30 is there for me. Huge moments at it. But I was also at it, which is a huge selling point. But
of course,
there was a lot at it as well that was very, very good. If you look back at the card. And then the other one is one that I don't know if it'd be on many people's ones, but WrestleMania 2000. Really good card on that as well. You had a weird match of Jericho, Benoit, and Angle, but it was for the Intercontinental title and the European title. So the first pinfall won the Intercontinental title, the second pinfall won the European title. Unbelievable stipulation. And then you're talking those three boyos in the ring, you knew it was going to be good. Yeah. And then the main event was obviously each corner had a McMahon.
Four way, yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, it was just three, and then Linda comes out and she's like, oh, I have a card to play here. And, you know, Mick had been retired and everything, and she was like, he never got his main event. And you were like, oh, it's Mick Foley, yes! It was buzzing to have Mick Foley in the main event of Mania. And then you obviously had the precursor to TLC. You had the ladder match with the Dudleys, the Hardys, and Edge and Christian. Just great pay-per-view as well. The rest of it's a bit filler, but those bits really held it up for me, yeah.
Gotcha. Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, please do let us know what you agreed with, what you disagreed with. I can't really see what you disagree with, to be fair. But definitely, if you do disagree, let us know and the reasons why. But make sure you give us your top cards as well in the comments, and we'll go through them after Mania. But I suppose we'll spend the last kind of 5 minutes here, lads, just talking about Mania this year. It's shaping up to be something. The Hall of Fame is obviously going to be huge. I mean, the end of an era, The Undertaker finally gets put in by Vince. The Steiners go in now, which I'm really excited about.
About. That's a shocker.
Huge shocker. So
their speech is going to be 33% better than everyone else's anyway. So
mathematically speaking, yeah. And if you only had you just need Sid in there to complete the deal, don't you? Just because if I had half the brain that you did.
Let me do that again. We're live, buddy.
We're live, pal. that's going to be amazing. And then, like, we've got some crazy matches on here. Obviously, the two ladies' matches for the titles, you know what I mean, are absolutely phenomenal. Can't wait to build up to Charlotte, and Ronda has been extraordinary. Like, she's been bashing Ronda, like, and it's really, really kind of good to see them have a one-on-one rather than a triple threat. Obviously, you know, the two kind of talking points really are Reigns and Brock, which I think is shaping up to be an absolutely fantastic match. I think you could see a little bit of naughtiness in here, possibly from Paul Heyman somewhere. I don't know.
See, that's the thing. That's the one match I'm going in, and I have no idea where they're going to go with.
Me too.
And it's been a while since I felt like that with a lot of matches. You know, you kind of have this person's winning, that person's winning. And like, even with the two women's title matches, you have an inkling of who's winning both of those, but this one, no idea who's going to walk out.
Yeah, it's
completely unpredictable at this point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, lads, I mean, shout out to all the boys that are over there. The return of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know whether you guys don't know whether you guys saw him in the recent interview on one of the Peacock talk shows, but he looks jacked. He's got those Austin veins in the arm again. The neck is thick. He looks, and I mean, he looks fit and healthy. I mean, this guy isn't coming back just to do a stunner or two and then have that.
He wants a full on match.
He wants a full on match. And of course, he's been working out probably with some old timers out his backyard as well in Texas. And when you think about it, a lot of people out there are kind of saying, oh, Kevin Owens, boy. I mean, the perfect dance partner for Stone Cold. Yeah.
I personally wanted to see AJ Austin. I just think that would have been an incredible match. But I mean, we're getting AJ Edge, so I can't complain. Do you know what I mean? I'm not complaining about getting AJ.
That has potential
and Edge,
to be match of the night, really, doesn't it? Match of the two nights.
Yeah, it's just if we're only going to get one Austin match. And obviously, we're not going to get Punk Austin, which I think would have been a dream for everyone. But I was like, if we're only getting one Austin match, I think I wanted it to be AJ and Austin. Owens and Austin. But
I think the dream match for a long time was actually Randy and Austin, because you know, for a long time he was considered the next Stone Cold in the way they were building him. And I think that, I mean, Jesus, you could put Randy in with absolutely anybody and they're going to come out looking good. But
yeah, well, that's the thing. Randy can go with anybody. Randy's the star. I want him elevating somebody else up.
Yeah, he can wrestle a broomstick. Whereas I think you've got the two perfect stick men now. And obviously, I'd imagine we're pretty much guessing, but almost, I'd say we're 99.9% right that, you know, here's my prediction. I've already laid it out. People have listened to it on the previous show with Niall. Myself and Niall both think that, you know, he's going to come out on Kevin Owens' show. You know, there's going to be a little bit of back and forth. And then I think, obviously, Austin ends up in a stunner somehow. Owens gets out of there, you know, cool as you like, thinking he's got one over him. And that's obviously when Austin gets up and fucking calls him out and says, I'll see you tomorrow night. Let's do it. And can you
imagine? Yeah, I think we're getting the match, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think he's going to get the better of him on night one. Like, you know what I mean? By being shady, do you know what I mean? And lads, imagine the pop. I'm going to be in Stamford Bridge. Well, I'll be in the Stamford Bridge premises watching that, hopefully in a little bar somewhere in a corner away from everybody. And just imagine the pop when you hear that glass break. And you don't see Austin just come out in a jeans and a t-shirt as we've been used to seeing him, or coming out in a referee top, but the black trunks and that little vest on again. Good Lord. It's a main event within itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jealous that Austin was like, I had no intentions of going to this Mania, because it's like, Texas is a bit, you know, I don't know if Texas would be somewhere I'd like. It'd be too hot. And then I was like, and also I'm a bit worried about COVID. And then I was like, when it was like, Austin's going to be back, I was like, fuck, I wish I'd just committed to it, because the chance to see Austin, hear that music after this many years and he actually has a match is just salivating. Like,
Here's an interesting question, lads, right? Now, we can only play like the hypothetical game, I suppose, here. Knowing how much Austin loves, I mean, look, he absolutely, it's within his blood, he loves wrestling. I mean, you can tell it from his podcasts. Do you know what I mean? Not just the WWE ones, but his actually. I'm wondering, could you see, I don't mean a return now, I'm not that stupid. I don't mean you'll see him on weekly television on Raw every week, but I'm just wondering, could this be a little thing where it just might open up something on him? Do you know what I mean? Because he's not got a lot going on. If all goes well, I mean, he's been medically cleared to do so, obviously, which is the main thing. I mean, first and foremost, that's all I care about when guys or girls come back. It's medically, I don't want to see them suffer just for my entertainment. So he's obviously been medically cleared, clean bill of health. He's ready to roll. He obviously wants to come back for a match with Owens. But I'm just thinking, knowing how, Jesus Christ, my house is haunted. knowing what it's like when you get that bug on a smaller scale. So imagine like on this kind of scale, how he's going to feel if this goes well for him. Wouldn't be surprised to see the odd appearance from Austin every now and then, would you? In another big match somewhere down the line.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. And I think if providing things go well and that he has good health, I wouldn't rule out that he could get like the basically the Goldberg treatment. He comes in, does the odd match here and there, and there you go. That way we can run through the dream matches that we wanted to see or that we want to see. And God, like, there's so many people that it'd be great to see him go against.
Oh, dude.
If not in a full-on match, at least the War Words in the lead-up to said match.
Like, I mean, Randy's a perfect example. And the thing about it is, with Austin, because of his style, the way he changed it after, you know, after the neck injury, he didn't wrestle that kind of style. I mean, a lot of people didn't realize how he wrestled, obviously, you know, before that. When you go back and watch the WCW stuff, this guy was the real, real deal. Like, so... It's kind of, if he keeps himself healthy and he's in there with the right kind of dance partners, like, it's not going to be too taxing on his body. Do you know what I mean? The odd front bump, the odd back bump. That's it, really, you know? Yeah. So it could be, I don't know. I'm getting excited. This is...
I wouldn't be surprised to see Austin walk out the winner at this Mania. 100%. I'm not sure, like, you know, if he doesn't win, I'd be like, yeah, obviously it makes sense he doesn't win. He has to put over Owens if he's not going to keep going. But if he comes out and wins, I'm not going to be shocked, because I think he might win this and come out and do, you know, another one or two here and there. And as you said, like, his style, it's mainly punching and kicking and then the odd suplex here and then the stunner.
Yeah.
As long as he's not taking 50,000 bumps a night, he's probably going to be all right for a couple more matches in there, isn't he?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, 100%.
I think so. Because, like, as you said, his moveset isn't that fucking difficult.
No.
Like, punch, kick, stomp, Lufez. That, the Lufez is actually his most flashy thing.
Yeah.
That's it. Apart from that.
With the odd, vertical suplex, the nice slow vertical suplex. That's really it.
But, like, I wouldn't be opposed to it. As long as he's healthy, like,
same.
Wouldn't be surprised either way. Like, Owens could benefit from going over, but realistically, like, the nostalgia pop, like, you have to have Austin go over.
Yeah, I think to. Yeah, you do.
Sting can do it. It's in Dallas, Texas, as well. Don't forget. You know what I mean? It's
There's a few other matches I'm kind of like looking forward to, but I don't think they'll steal any shot. Like, I'm interested to see where they go with Zayn and Knoxville. Because, like, obviously Knoxville's not a wrestler, but, like, the guy's
you know the boys are coming down, don't you?
Yeah, but, like, he's certifiably insane. Like, I'm just interested to see, like, what the hell is he going to do?
Oh, he's going to do a Shane O'Mac.
What's his moment going to be? Because you know Knoxville's doing something batshit here.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%.
Like, I watched the film just recently.
Like, oh, man, it's good.
And just, like, him getting hit by the ball and doing a 630 to break his rib, his wrist, and a concussion. I'm like, oh, that's nasty. That is nasty.
Do you know they shot that twice? Because the first time it didn't look that good.
But the second one definitely did.
Yeah, the second one is the one they used in the film, because, you know, he basically died. the film is actually incredible, to be fair to them. The only thing I would warn people about is there is a serious amount of dick in this film. Yeah. Like, I don't remember Jackass having that much dick in anything they ever did. That was more Dirty Sanchez. This thing is, like, you know, the boys have all gotten a bit older, so they obviously aren't doing as much crazy shit to their body. Mm. But there's a lot of dick stuff in this. I was sitting in the cinema and I was like, oh, I can feel a lot of this already. Like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, Jesus.
Have I gone to see a movie or porn? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for making my decision for me, guys. I have no intention of watching this movie now.
Oh, definitely still watch it. It's still definitely, if you liked Jackass, this is seriously worth watching.
Yeah, but, I'm in.
You know, be ready that you're going to be sitting there with your hands on your bollocks, being like, whoa.
Yeah, and not in the nice kind of way, by the sounds of it. So
not at all. Jesus Christ. Put it this way, they let one of a professional hockey player test a cup on somebody.
Yeah,
that'll let you know in what you're looking at here with the level of brutality on someone's dick.
Okay. Well, yeah.
That's a tangent.
That's a great way to end the show. Mold dick, please. No, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Look, Mania Week, it's exciting. I think we're all excited for it. I think regardless of whether you're just, you know, a casual wrestling fan or you're someone who intermittently watches it and you catch up on what you need to catch up, because wrestling is no different to EastEnders anymore. You can catch up within a week once you go on YouTube, you know what I mean? You still know the characters, you know they're there. So we can all still get excited for Mania. And I think there, it's a decent lineup over two nights. It can be pretty long, but at the same time, it is what it is. We still love it. And I look forward to it. I'm sure you boys do too. Mm-hmm. So look, Foxy, thank you once again for coming on. I'm sure this won't be the last.
No, not at all.
100%. And Ted, as always, we might even do a catch-up after Mania, maybe. Might do a little...
Yeah, see how it goes.
A little round table and see if we're happy, if we're moaning, or we can talk about the wrestling fans that might be moaning.
Well, there's definitely going to be wrestling fans moaning. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Yeah,
100%. You're not going to satisfy everyone.
No, can't please all the people all the time. But until the next time, for me, your host, Dean the Dynamo Kelly, for Noel, Foxy Fox, and of course for Ted Irving, we are over and out.